Family worth fighting for. This morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. My hope and prayer this morning is that the message is an encouragement to dads and to husbands, but also a reminder to all of us of what God's plan is. As Pastor Kenny so eloquently pointed out last week, God has a plan for marriage. Part of that is husbands and fathers. It's God's design that husbands be a part of the marriage with wives, and that kids be born into a marriage. That's God's design. Our society says do what you want with who you want, whenever you want, and if you're not happy, get out and go find somebody else that will make you happy. That is not God's design. We want to be clear about that. We want to be clear not only for those of us who are adults or are already married or have been married, and I recognize that all of us in here are not necessarily married, but I also want to be clear about that with our teenagers. God's word is clear for them, and with the children that are in the room, God's word is clear for them. We want to follow God's design regardless, like in Joshua's day, regardless of what the world says. God's design is perfect, and it always works. We just simply need to follow it. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, God says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." Jump down a couple of verses to verse 4. "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So again, God's design works. Our society more and more is falling apart, primarily because we're not following God's design, and the family is a big part of that. In America today, we have certainly seen the disintegration of the family. More and more families are falling apart. Most marriages, at least 50%, and probably even more than that, end in divorce. That means we're not following God's design. The sad fact is that 50% of the marriages in the church also do the same. They end in divorce. We're not following God's design. So, if this is a repeat for you because of what we're talking about in husbands today and wives and family, there's a reason for that. Our nation is falling apart because as a whole we're not following God's design. And so we want to make sure that we know what God's design is. It's simple and it's profound, but it's important that we all follow it. And again, some of you are not married. Some of you are beyond the fact that you're ever going to be married again. I get that. But you have an impact on your kids or your grandkids or your neighbor's kids or the kids in your classroom or the kids down the street. All of them need to know what marriage is supposed to be and not get mixed messages from us. We need to follow God's design. Verse 22, "Wives," God says, "be subject to your own husbands. Come together in life with them in the same way that you do with the Lord." Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church." The idea of being head here simply means that you are in a position of authority. But notice again what God says here. And wives, we're going to talk about the role of wives in a couple of weeks, but just for the sake of the design this morning so I can focus on husbands and dads today. I want you to see what he says. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Most of us don't have a problem with Christ being our head if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. But sometimes in marriages, or even those who aren't married, we have a hard time with the husband or the man being the head of the wife. It's God's design. But notice again what it says here. He gave himself up. He gave up everything for the church. And that's part of God's design. So look with me at verse 25. Hopefully it'll make a little more sense. Husbands. Let's not skip past the word husbands. He's not talking to all men in verse 25. He's talking to husbands, those who are married to a specific woman. If you are married, then you have a biblical responsibility to the woman that you have married to. Husbands, love your wives. Notice he doesn't say love somebody else's wife. He doesn't say love the idea of a wife. Don't love your expectation of the wife. Love your wife. As Pastor Kenny so eloquently pointed out last week, love is not necessarily a feeling. Love is a commitment. Love here simply means that you show without condition sincere appreciation and respect. You show high regard for that person. So God is asking husbands, those who are married, to show towards their wives, not to every other woman, but to your wife, that you love her unconditionally with great respect and appreciation and high regard, not when she does something that you want her to do and you reward her so you show her love, but regardless of whether she's meeting your expectations within the marriage or not. God has a biblical responsibility for husbands to love their wives. Notice, men, he does not tell you anything else about your wives. He tells us, as husbands, to love our wives. Why in the world would he have to tell us to love our wives? And he has to tell wives to submit to their husbands. The reason is because it doesn't come naturally or easily to either side. You would think that it would just be a normal thing, but it's not. Most men look at love in two ways, and you know what those two ways are, men. Women look at love about 1.5 million different ways. And so trying to match those together takes time and commitment. It takes energy and effort. It doesn't just naturally come. That's why God has to tell us to do that. In my premarital counseling sessions now, I almost always try to ask in each one of those sessions, I look at the male in the relationship and I say, when you're married, what is the one biblical responsibility that God gives you once you are married to your wife? And a lot of times I get all kinds of answers. But we make sure we get back to the biblical understanding that God says to men, once they're married, to love their wives. I ask the women in the relationship in premarital counseling the same thing. What is the one biblical responsibility God gives you as a wife once you're married? You're not married yet. You're engaged. You may have been engaged for months or years or days, it doesn't matter. You're not married yet. Once you're married, God says that you are to respect or submit, do life together with your husband. Why does he have to tell us to do those things? Because they don't come naturally for us. So look again at what he says in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. And then he puts conditions on it. Just as Christ also loved the church. And oh, by the way, he gave up everything for the church. He gave up everything for the church. That's the kind of love that he's looking for. Most of us fall short of that, men, husbands. But the idea of giving up everything here literally means to hand over or convey any rights or authority that you think you have. So while God may say, husbands, you are the head of your wife, you, as an act of love, have to give up everything that means. You don't get to tell her what to do. That's not what being head of your wife is. Because if you're telling her what to do, you're not loving her. You're telling her what to do so she meets your expectations of what you think should happen within the marriage. That's not love. That's manipulation. If you're giving up everything for her, then you are willingly handing over any rights or authority that may be rightly yours so that you can show your wife that you love her. Here's the good news. The rest of these next few verses are about Christ and the church, not about you and your marriage. Look at verse 26. That he, or Christ, might sanctify her. Husbands, you do not have a responsibility to sanctify your wife. That's Christ's role. He's already done that. What does sanctify mean? It means to set apart for God's purposes. You can't sanctify her. Christ is the only one that can sanctify her because you're a sinner just like she is. Christ is the only one who paid the price for our sin. Notice what else he says, that he might sanctify her, verse 26, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Husbands, that is not your responsibility. Christ already took care of that. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 describes this. He saved us, Christ saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Christ is the one who has washed her, if she's a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't do that. You don't have a biblical responsibility to sanctify her or wash her by the cleansing of the water of the word. That's not your responsibility. God does that through Jesus Christ. Verse 27, Christ did that so that he could present to himself the church in all of her glory. Again, husbands, that's not your responsibility. When you saw her walk down the aisle, I've never seen an ugly bride. When you saw her walk down the aisle, you saw just a glimpse of that glory that Christ will see when he presents the church to himself in all of her glory. That's not your role to present her that way. Christ has done that. At the end of verse 27, he presents the church to himself in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Again, Christ does that. That's not the responsibility of the husband. Too often I hear this teaching that husbands are supposed to do that with their wives. You can't do that. You're a sinner. I can't do that. I'm a sinner. Can we help our wives grow in Christ? Only if we're growing in Christ. Only if we're modeling that behavior, if we're doing the right things and our hearts are right. But you can't be Christ to her. She needs to understand who Christ is, not you make her understand who Christ is. Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives. There it is again. Notice that he has to say to husbands in about 7 or 8 verses what he says to wives in 2 or 3. There's a reason for that, isn't there, men? We have to be told, sometimes multiple times. Not nagged, told, reminded, encouraged, then reminded again and encouraged some more. That's what God does with us here. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. And then don't miss this next phrase. He who loves his own wife loves himself. You see that, man? He who loves his own wife loves himself. Men are good at taking care of themselves. He says it here in the next verse. For no one, verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh. He's talking to husbands. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Men, when we're hungry, what do? We eat. When we're tired, what do? Rest. When we are looking for something to do that is enjoyable, we find something to do that is enjoyable. I'm not saying we're lazy, that we never work or do things like that. We do, but when you go to work, you're doing it for a benefit to you. Benefit your family too. I get that. But we're doing stuff to nourish and cherish ourselves. Our wives will miss 2 or 3 meals if it means taking care of the kids. Doesn't mean she's not going to snack somewhere along the way, but she may miss lunch and dinner to be sure that the kids are taken care of and the house is taken care of and her job is taken care of. And you and I aren't doing that. We're finding a way to sit down and eat dinner or lunch because we nourish and cherish our own flesh that God gave us. It's not a negative thing. It's just part of who we are. That's why he has to tell us to love our wives. Notice what else he says here. Just as Christ also does the church, verse 30, because we are members of his body. If you're part of the body of Christ, Christ provides what you need. He nourishes and cherishes his own body. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you're part of the body of Christ. He is the head. He's the source of all. He's not asking husbands to be the head or the source. Christ is the head. That's why every good marriage following God's design is built on two people finding Christ as Lord and Savior and then coming together. And if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, before you get married, that hopefully you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior in that marriage, then you can follow God's design, because Christ is the head. He nourishes and cherishes his body, and then he equips you to be able to live in this design that he calls marriage between a husband and a wife. Look at verse 31. He goes back to the beginning of creation. Marriage is God's design. Man didn't come up with it. Man would not have come up with it. And we've seen what our society has done with marriage now, not following God's design. But all the way back in creation, God is the one in creation who said, look at verse 31, a quote of Genesis 2:24, "For this cause a man shall leave his mother and his father, his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's God's design. That's why, teenagers, God says you shouldn't live with somebody before you get married. You can't leave and cleave to your wife if you're living with her or him. God's design is for two people to come together in marriage, leave their father and mother, and cleave to one another. That's part of the reason we have so many issues in marriage today in our society. We haven't cleaved to one another. We're still cleaving to our mom who takes care of us. Or we're cleaving to our best friends or to our neighbors. We're spending more time with them than we are with our spouse working on the marriage that God has created. Verse 32, "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Marriage is not a mystery. The relationship of Christ and the church is the mystery. Marriage is simple, yet we complicate it. Verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." Again, we'll come back to wives and mothers in a couple of weeks, but let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. Are you willing, husbands, to give up everything? Skip down again a couple of verses to Ephesians 6, verse 4. We're going to focus on dads. But notice again, I said this in the beginning, I'll say it again. God's design, God's plan from the beginning of creation until the end of eternity, which will never end, his design is for a man to leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh, and children be born into that relationship. There was a story I read a while back where a man went to his pastor and he said, "I think I'm loving my wife too much." And the pastor said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Well, I think I'm making her like a god. I'm loving her too much." I think he was looking for permission to not love her as much. And the pastor said, "Have you yet reached the level of what Christ did for the church?" The man left quietly. God's design works. We've messed it up. But it doesn't mean we can't continue to follow his design. He has a plan for fathers. Look again what he says in verse 4 of chapter 6. "And fathers," you're going to be shocked, but fathers, that means a male person who has a child, biological, by adoption, or by any other method. That means if you have somebody who you are a father figure to, same applies. If you are a father, God has design for you. Look at what he says. "Do not provoke your children to anger." Most of us who've been children along the way love that part of the verse. "Dad, you made me mad, so you violated God's word. you made me angry when you gave me that rule, or you disciplined me. You're not supposed to do that. Well, that's because we leave out the last part of the verse. If the goal of a father is to just make his child angry, then that's sin. You're violating the word of God. But fathers know that's not the goal. You're not trying to manipulate your child with anger. But the end of the verse, the rest of it says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The goal of every father, according to the word of God, is to raise your child to maturity, both physically and psychologically. That's what God's design is. Dads, not moms, dads, you have a biblical responsibility to raise your child to maturity, physically and psychologically. Moms know how to nurture and care. So when dad enacts a rule, they can go deal with dad, then they can go, mom, he made me so angry, I didn't, and mom can come love on him and tell him, you know what, dad's just doing that to help you out. He's trying to protect you. He told you to look both ways before you cross the street, not because he's mean, but he doesn't want you to get run over by a car. I know, mom, but I just wanted to run across the street. Moms are good at cherishing and nurturing. Dads, that's not your role primarily. Your role is to help raise your child to maturity physically and psychologically. He says to do it with discipline. Discipline literally means to train in proper conduct and behavior. Teach your child what it looks like to live their lives according to the word of God. And then the last part is in the instruction of the Lord. Instruction means training to correct wrong behavior and or beliefs. That happens from the moment that they are born until they are no longer a part of the earth or you are. Some of us have adult children. I still have a biblical responsibility with adult children who live on their own, pay their own bills, are taking care of everything on their own. I still have a biblical responsibility to help mature them physically and psychologically. Now, the role has completely changed from when they were young, toddlers and children and teenagers and even college students. But I still have a biblical responsibility as a dad to discipline and instruct them as best I can, again, in a completely different role with adult children. But it doesn't mean I'm done with them. When they call and ask advice, I don't tell them what to do. I have to help them, guide them to understand the role that they need to have and help them reach that conclusion on their own because of what we've already taught them as children, as teenagers, and as young adults. Dads, we have a biblical responsibility to follow God's design. Again, it doesn't mean that your children aren't going to get upset with you. But what is your goal? Is your goal to make them angry and manipulate them or motivate them somehow that way? No, if that's it, that's not God's design. God's design is for dads to help mature their children physically and psychologically by disciplining them, teaching the right things to do and the right way to behave, and instruct them when they do it wrong to help them understand the right way to do it, the right way to think about it. I'm blessed that I had a dad who loved me and cared for me and raised myself and my brother and my sister to follow the Lord. And because of his instruction and training in my life to follow the Lord, that helped me in turn be able to pass that on to my two boys. And one day I pray that God would allow them to pass that on to their kids. Because that's part of God's design. Again, it's not rocket science. But our society has messed it up. And even if you've messed it up in your family, doesn't mean you can't come back to following God's design. Now, you may have some work to do, but you can still follow God's design with what you have right now and not make an excuse that you continue to follow the world's way. God's design works. So my encouragement and my challenge today is to thank you, husbands and dads that are trying to do it the right way. Thank you. Not easy, but it is worth it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your simple design of husbands and fathers. And Father, on this Father's Day, we want to first make sure that we acknowledge, we've sung it, we've said it, And now we want to pray it, that we recognize that you are the greatest Father because you are our Heavenly Father. You already love us unconditionally. You even sent your Son to die on a cross for us, to take our place and even become sin on our behalf. So thank you for being a Father to us. Father, I thank you again for all the fathers in the room. And I pray that you would encourage them with the truth of your word today, that your design works. We just simply need to follow it. Again, it's not something that's complicated, but we've complicated it because we've listened to the world instead of following your design. Forgive us for that and help us follow your design. Father, for those in this room who haven't gotten to the age of marrying yet, I pray that you would help them, that one day when you have them ready to get married, I pray that they would desire to follow your design. And they wouldn't let their emotions or their feelings override what your design is. Because your design works. And our feelings and emotions oftentimes lead us to the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong person. So, Father, help all of us to recommit ourselves, no matter what our age, no matter what our marital status is, to follow your design for husbands and dads. And thank you for those dads and husbands that are trying to do it right. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.